I keep saying the morning, but it's tonight. So glad that everybody could come back and see what the Lord has for us this evening. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, again for this day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the rain, Lord. Just how wonderful you are, and just for the life that you've given us to live. Lord, I pray you just bless this next hour here, dear God, as we try to praise you, glorify you, and lift you up. And I pray you just lead God and direct in all that's said and done. And that we just love you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back, everybody. Good to see you. By the way, I hope you noticed we've got a new piano player up here this evening. Fingers McGillicuddy. We just imported her down south. Thank you so much for playing for us tonight. If you would, brothers and sisters, turn to 819. 819. Constantly abiding. And I invite you, please, to stand and we'll all sing together. 819. Glory to God. Please sign up over there, and I believe that's all I have for right now. Amen. Amen. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, if you would, turn to 273. 273. I hope that you desire her tonight. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up.
Thank you.
we're going to do something a little different this evening. If you take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1. Normally on Sunday nights, we're going through 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 2, I believe. But this evening, I'd like to look at what I was going to look at this morning in Romans. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 2, or 1, I'm sorry, Romans 1:1. The Bible says this here. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his holy prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. If you hold your hand there in Romans, because we're going to come right back to it, and look over at 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says this, 2 Peter 2:1, we're kind of looking through this on Wednesday evenings. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray, lead God and direct your God. I pray, give me the word to speak, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, I would move out of the way, dear God. You'd help, Lord, to give us exactly what you have us to hear, see, Lord, and apply to our life, that we would glorify you and just grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I ask these things in his name. Amen. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, it talks about false prophets, false teachers, how they'll be among you, they'll bring in damnable heresies, they'll deny the Lord bought them, they'll bring upon themselves swift destruction, and there's going to be many that follow their destructive or pernicious ways, and they're also going to speak evil the truth, which is what we follow here in this church. I believe we try to follow the truth contained in the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible have to say on all matters? I believe anything that we're going through in our life, I believe the Bible touches on it and will give us a principle in how we can live through it. But the reason I went back to Romans and wanted to look at Romans tonight, and I didn't get a chance to look at it this morning. But Romans chapter 1, Paul says here in verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And what I want to take a few moments this evening to look at is this calling of being an apostle. Now, I don't know how it is up here in the north, but I know down south there are a lot of individuals who believe themselves to be apostles. There's a lot. There's a lot of churches down there, the apostle of so-and-so, the apostle of so-and-so, this person is an apostle. I've met many people in the juvenile center when I worked down there that were part of ministries coming in to minister to the kids, and they were apostles so-and-so, or a woman that was an apostle. And so I want to look at some things this evening about what is an apostle, and what does the Bible say an apostle is, and the prerequisites of to be an apostle. Okay? So take your Bible real quick and look over at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse number 1. Hebrews 3:1. So if you look up the definition in an 1828 dictionary, this is the definition of an apostle. It's a person deputed to execute some important business, but appropriately a disciple of Christ commissioned to preach the gospel. Deputized, commissioned, these things have to accompany somebody that is an apostle. I believe it's the same way with being a bishop, a missionary, an evangelist, so to speak, that God commissions, God sends forth those individuals. I don't believe an individual just one day wakes up and says, you know what, I'm going to go be a pastor today. And then we'll see in about 2 years or 3 years, and then maybe I'll go on a mission field. And, well, then maybe after that I'll go... I don't believe that's how it works. I believe God lays it upon your heart. You get ordained, you get sent out by a local church, and God's called you to do whatever you're doing. And it's the same way as far as an apostle goes. Look, you can't just get you a gun and make you up a badge that looks similar to the badge that the Constantinople police carry, or the sheriff's deputy, or the state troopers here in Pennsylvania. You can't go out and just buy you a badge that looks very similar, put you a gun on, and say, oh, I'm now a state trooper, or I'm now a deputy. No, you got to be commissioned. You got to be deputized. You got to have some authority backing you. You usually got to swear an oath, and you got to have somebody backing your authority in order to go out there and enforce the laws. It's the same way with an apostle. You can't just say, you know what, I'm an apostle. Well, who's commissioning you? Who's authorized you to state that you are an apostle of Jesus Christ? So an apostle has to be deputized. They have to execute some important business. They have to be commissioned by Jesus Christ. Now, commission means this: to send with a mandate or authority, to authorize or empower. So an apostle has to have authority, and they have to be authorized by Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The head apostle is Christ Jesus. He is also the high priest of our profession. Now, flip on over and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 13. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. The first thing I want us to realize this evening is that there are many false apostles who try to deceive and lead astray. Okay? There's a lot of false apostles out there. I don't believe they're authorized nor commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? I don't believe we have the position of apostles no more. Okay, in Ephesians, I'm not going to look at this evening, but I believe, listen, God is building up His house. And I believe the apostles and prophets were the foundation of the house. I don't think we're no longer at the foundation. I believe the Lord is making the final little touches in His home that He's created called the church. Okay, you build a home, I hope you wouldn't try to build a home 2,000 years ago and you're still at the foundation. Now, if a home's been building for a while, you want to see it get past the foundation stage. You want to see the studs built, you want to see the roof go on, you want to see windows put in, then you want to see the cabinets put inside, the electricity, the plumbing. You want to see your home come along and fairly quickly. Well, the Bible says that we're God's house. I believe we're in the final stages here before the Lord calls home His church. So we no longer need apostles and prophets because they were the foundation laid in the very beginning as the church was being formed. So look at 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse number 13. Look what Paul says here. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So Paul gives a warning here. Listen, what you have to realize is when 2 Corinthians was being written, you still didn't have the full canon of Scripture that we have today. Paul was still writing his letters. They were still going to the churches. You didn't have the printing press. Things were passed around. So one of the ways you had to know that what the individual was saying was it had to have the authority that God said it would have behind it. And that authority was the apostles. And Paul was one of those apostles. And Paul says here to the church at Corinth, he says, listen, brethren, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Which tells me that Paul's telling them, listen, you need to watch out. You need to be aware that there are false apostles out there who are going to act like they're apostles of Christ. Look at verse 14. He says, don't marvel. Don't let this thing catch you by surprise as it's some new thing. Just look what he says in verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, which are devils or demons,
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, who to devils, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Not drug dealers down on a local street corner, not the bartender at the local bar, not the Satanist that's worshiping down there in the house of Satan. He says, ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, my question to you is this. Who are those ministers of righteousness? There's someone who's claiming to be an apostle of Christ, yet they're false apostles, and they're doing the work of the devil. You say, preacher, why are you talking about this evening? Because I don't want you being deceived. I want you to know, what does the Bible say? If we're going to talk or converse on anything, we can all have our opinions on different matters, and that's basically what it is, an opinion. Some of us might like red shirts, some of us might like blue shirts, some of us might like gray. We all have different opinions on food, on clothing, on cars, on houses, on an array of things in this life. And basically what it is, an opinion. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's not an opinion, it's God's Word. What does the Bible say? The Bible says here that, listen, there's going to be false apostles, false teachers who are going to try to come in and turn you from the truth and bring in damnable heresies. And they're going to say that they're authorized by Jesus Christ. They're not going to come in and say, I'm doing this in the name of Satan. I'm a minister of righteousness, but my power, my authority is coming from the devil. They're not going to say that. They might not even know that or realize that. They may be deceived themselves. But God does not desire for his church to be deceived. And so there are false apostles and prophets and teachers out there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 2, and look at verse number 2, verse number 17. Look what 2 Corinthians 2 verse 17 says. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. For we are not as many which what? Corrupt the word of God. All right. Now look, an NIV will say, I believe, peddle the word of God. I don't have it with me here this evening. But it changes that verse around. And it says, instead of corrupting the word of God, it says, we not as many or along those lines that will peddle the word of God. Now, I looked at it a couple months ago. And the Bible industry is a multi-million dollar industry. Actually, it's probably more than that. And you talk about what is peddling. It means selling. Right? There are Zondervan and these Bible companies are making buku money off of printing off new Bibles. Every year there's new Bibles coming out. You know why? One of the reasons why I turn to use the King James, it's not copyrighted. There is no copyright on the King James Bible. But there is a copyright on an NIV or an NASV or a New King James or an NIRV or a Living Bible or the Message. Those Bibles have copyrights on them. Basically, you cannot make copies of it and use it without their permission. You can copy this all day long, hand it out, spread it on the streets, wherever you want to go with it. There's no copyright on it. You say, well, my Bible, I got a King James Bible, and it's got a copyright in the front. Well, it's probably for the maps or the notes, but the text has no copyright. It cannot be copyrighted. Brethren, listen, there's something fishy going on of why you need so many English Bibles. Just something fishy with it. Why do you need 350 different versions of the Bible? It doesn't make no sense to me. There's one God, and I believe God's God enough that he can give me a Bible in English language. And I believe he's done so in the King James Bible. False prophets, false teachers, false apostles, for we are not as many which corrupt. What do they want to corrupt? They want to corrupt the Word of God. You know why they want to corrupt the Word of God? Because the Word of God has power. For where the Word of a king is, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, where the Word of a king is, there's power. There's power in the Word of God, and the devil knows that, and he'll do nothing more than try to water it down, change it, correct it, whatever he wants to do to it. Now, look, I believe there's truth. I believe there's truth in a New King James. I believe you can get saved. There's some preachers who don't believe this. I believe this. I believe you can get saved and using a different version of the Bible because there's truths contained in those other versions. All right. How do you get saved? You get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, calling out to him. You're saved through his blood sacrifice there on the cross of Calvary, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. But take this, okay? If I had some of you, let's say whatever you like to drink, whatever your favorite drink is, and I put it up here in a cup. Let's, for sake of illustration, just say it's coffee. And you put it there, you put a coffee cup there, and you got coffee inside of it, pure coffee. That's what it is, coffee. And then I take some Tabasco sauce and I put it in there. Then I pour some of it out and add a half a cup of water into it. Then I take some salt, put some pepper, put some paprika in there, break up an egg and put it in there, swash it around. It's still coffee, but you're not going to drink it. Same way with these newer Bibles, things taken out, things put in, things changed around. Is there still some truth mixed in there and weaved in there in essence? Yes. But there's also a lot of stuff in there that's damnable. All right? And I'm not doing a Bible study this evening on the Bible, but why are you changing things around that don't need to be changed around? A Bible is not that hard to understand. I'm not a very smart individual. The people will say, well, thou and thee and ye and you, that's simple to understand, plurality and being singular. The reason the Bible was written that way is because the Bible, I believe, is a sharp sword to where you know when somebody's talking, you know exactly who they're talking to. That's why you have the ye and the thee and the thou. That's why you have those words in there to give you an exactness of what the scripture is saying. It's important. And like I said a couple services ago, a couple weeks ago, learn. Take some time and learn. I was saying it Wednesday night. Get you a dictionary. Most importantly, make sure you have the Holy Ghost dwelling within you. Ask the Lord to teach you. Ask the Lord to guide you. If you don't understand something, keep moving forward or ask a question to me. And if I don't know the answer, I'll try to find somebody that does know the answer. But there's a lot of things you got to realize in the Bible. You could read through it every day of your life to the time you're 95 years old. You're still not going to fully understand this Bible. You will never understand this Bible completely. Because to me, I believe Hebrews 4:12 that it's a living book. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. If you can get to a point to where you come up to me someday and you say, preacher, guess what? I said, what? I've mastered the Bible. I got it all down. I'm walking away from you. I'm doing that right there. Something you don't know the God I know. Because it seems the more I read my Bible, the more I try to, me and Brother Lance were talking about it this morning. The more I try to read my Bible and the more I try to study it, the more I realize I don't even know what's in this thing. Because it seems like the deeper I go, the deeper it gets. And the more it's connected and the more things are weaved through it. And it's like no other book there ever was because it's God's Word. But the devil knows that. He's going to try to come in. He's going to try to corrupt it to where he's going to try to deceive you and get you to believe something that is not true from the Word of God. And one of those things tonight is believing that we still have apostles today. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1. Acts 15 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 15 and look at verse number 1. One must realize that there are false apostles, false teachers, false prophets who will try to deceive and lead astray. Look at Acts chapter 15 and look at verse number 1. Acts 15, 1. And certain men, Acts 15, 1, my apologies. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. That is a damnable heresy. You do not need to be circumcised in order to be saved. You do not need to be water baptized in order to be saved. You're saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement. And that's what brings salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. You don't add nothing to it. You don't put nothing to it. It's all of Jesus Christ. But here in Acts chapter 15, you see there's certain men which came down from Judea and tried to teach the brethren that, and they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved, which was completely false. Look over at verse 24, same chapter. Acts chapter 15, look at verse 24. Acts 15, verse 24, is still along these lines of circumcision. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. All right, so even back in the early church, you had individuals trying to creep in and change what the apostles were trying to put forth to a newly a church, newly formed, that salvation could only be kept if you were circumcised and kept the law. That is why it's so important for you to realize that you cannot pull doctrine, church doctrine, from the book of Acts. They're still wrestling it through here in Acts chapter 15. Look, you still have Jews there that are saved, but they were so caught up in Judaism that they thought, they've been doing it for how many thousands of years? God commanded it that they had to be circumcised. And now all of a sudden you have these apostles coming on the scene, true apostles, saying, listen, you don't have to be circumcised no more to be saved. You don't have to keep the law of God no more to be saved. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. The Messiah fulfilled it. But it was so ingrained in their minds that it was hard for them to break free from this fact that they no longer had to keep the laws of God in order to obtain eternal life. They're still wrestling through it here in Acts. So you cannot pull doctrine, church doctrine, sound church doctrine from the book of Acts. Take your Bible, look over at Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 18. I'm giving you some Bible this evening, because this is where it's safe and it's sure. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 18. False apostles, false prophets, false teachers. What's a red flag of a false apostle or false teacher? Look at Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren. This is what Paul's telling the church there. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. And you see kind of a picture of that in the book of Galatians, because in the book of Galatians you have people creeping in again wanting to say that you need to be circumcised to be saved. Paul says, mark those that cause division and offenses contrary to what? To the doctrines which he was trying to teach them. And not only avoid them, he says avoid them, stay away from them. Look at verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And we're going to see it as we study through 2 Peter. Through feigned words, they'll come in and make merchandise of you. If you get a preacher that gets up and all he talks about is money most of the time, that's a false teacher in my opinion. He's serving his own belly, his own pocketbook, and that's what he's concerned about, or she is concerned about. Paul says, I don't want you being simple concerning this subject. Don't be simple. But you know what it's a lot easier to do? Sit down, have a church service, a preacher reads maybe one verse, and the rest of it is just talking and telling stories, say a little bit about Jesus, we sing more worship songs, and we go home. You don't learn nothing with that. And you wonder why so many people are deceived today, because very few people have the patience to sit still and hear what the Bible has to say. Brethren, this is safe ground. You don't want my opinion. And if sometimes I do give you my opinion, you toss it in a trash can and you go with what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We're safe. You're safe. When you are in these pages with the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, you're safe. You're safe here. That's why it's so important to stay in your Bible, because there's going to come people in that are going to try to deceive you by their fair speeches and good words. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 7. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 7. I know I'm giving you a lot of Bible this evening, but I believe it's important. Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse number, Galatians 1 and verse number 7. I hope you see a theme. We were in 2 Corinthians, then we were in Romans, we were in the book of Acts, now we're in the book of Galatians, and look what Paul says again. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Well, verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert what? The gospel of Christ. He says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel on you than that which we preached on you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel on you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Do you think it's important tonight? It's important. Paul realized how important, so much so that Paul even lumped himself into that statement. He says, brethren, what I've given you with the authority, with the commission of Jesus Christ, if at some point in the future I come back to you and I preach unto you another gospel, don't believe it. Paul even lumped himself back into there. He said, what I preach to you, you receive it and don't let anybody deceive you. Do not let anybody pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lastly, look over at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. I'm not going to go over these scriptures, but you can find more at 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. But let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4 and look at verse number 1. First John chapter 4 and verse number 1. Look what Paul, the Apostle John states. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, we're not talking about the spirit world out here to where you're talking to ghosts or entities that are not seen as supernatural. When he says here, believe not every spirit, he's talking about the spirit that's within a man. You see, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. We all have a spirit within us today, and a soul, and we have a body. John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because look what he says next. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's one of the ways you know the Spirit of God. He'll give you a key. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. God was manifested in the flesh. And wouldn't you know it, most of the new Bibles, they change 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, especially the part where it says, God was manifested in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. He was completely man, yet he was completely God, and to deny either one of them is to deny the work of Jesus Christ. How do you know a spirit? A spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. No, it's the spirit of Antichrist. They are Antichrist. Jesus Christ. They are anti-God manifested in the flesh. It's out there today. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that is the spirit of Antichrist. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe it's Jehovah's Witnesses. Is it the Jehovah's Witnesses that believe Jesus and the devil are brothers? Or is that Mormons? So, look, they believe Jesus Christ and the devil are brothers. It's not in here. I've read through my Bible numerous times, and not one time have I ever picked up the scriptures where it says Jesus and the devil were brothers. But I also have my Bible that Jesus Christ is God, which they change in their Bible. You know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They put was a God. One little word, a, they slip it on in there, changes the whole context of the scripture. Jesus Christ wasn't a God, he was God, manifested in the flesh. He was, capital W-O-R-D, the Word of God. Yes. Revelation. So you see here, and here again in John chapter 4, look, you read through Romans, look, as a church, read through Romans, read through 1st, 2nd Corinthians, read through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1st, 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, read through the Pauline epistles, and you're going to see this common thread all through it of afflictions, persecutions, and also to be aware of false prophets, false teachers, and false apostles, teachers and prophets that will come in and try to pervert. What are they going to consistently try to pervert? They're going to consistently try to pervert the Word of God. So try the spirits whether they are of God. Look at verse 4, 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak. Here's another red flag. What are false prophets going to talk about? Therefore speak they of the world, and look, and the world heareth them. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. If half the United States is okay with a particular church and they see nothing wrong with it, that would make me suspect. If everybody's fine with it and it says it's good, I'll give you an example, Billy Graham. I believe at one point, in the very beginning, he was preaching some good stuff at the very beginning. And he started drifting away, even to a point to where he's almost denying that there was a hell. Listen, there's no way you can tell me that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a preacher and a Bible believer, and you're going to have an audience with the Pope. Billy Graham had an audience with the Pope. Listen, some of you in here, the majority of you in here were raised Catholic. Is salvation found in the Catholic Church? No, some of you are shaking your heads. That's why you left it. Do you believe tonight, the Catholic Church, do you believe tonight that if we conduct a Lord's Supper, that if the right man's in here, he can transform that bread into the very flesh of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about symbolically. I'm talking about you all can bear witness to it. I wasn't raised Catholic. My dad was, but I wasn't, thank God. My dad got out of it before I came along. But those that you're involved in Catholicism, do not they believe that that bread literally turns into the body of Jesus? It's not symbolic. And that the wine that you drink is no longer wine, but it literally is the blood of Jesus. Right? Is that not a false doctrine? So if somebody's putting that forth that you need to take that in order to be saved, why would you join forces with them? Brethren, I want you to think this morning, or this evening. I'm not trying to be critical. False prophets, false teachers, false apostles, transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness. And no marvel that Satan himself will transform himself into a minister of light. Everybody and their brother loves Billy Graham. You also better be careful of the contemporary Christian music that's out there. And some Southern gospel music that's out there. Because there's some gospel music musicians in the Southern gospel scene that are linked up with the ecumenical movement, sometimes closer than some of the rock in Christian contemporary Christian music. There's some gospel popular, I'm not going to name names right now tonight, but there's some popular Southern gospel individuals that have influence on millions and millions of people, and they're fellowshipping with those in the Catholic Church to perform masses, or allowing individuals to perform masses at their concerts, and they're taking their pictures with lesbians and sodomites. I'm not being critical. I'm saying we need to be careful. Who are these ministers of righteousness? Who are these ministers of righteousness? Now listen, I came out of all that. I came out of the contemporary Christian movement. My parents were all into the Southern gospel stuff. I came out of all of it. It was a struggle for me. One of the main struggles in my life is music. I battled with that thing as a teenager and into my 20s. For years I battled that thing. Because music is so powerful. To me, music is the most powerful weapon that the devil can use is music. And I believe there's ministers of righteousness, so they say, and one of the main tools they use is corrupt music. False apostles, false prophets. Now, I want to look at two more things here before I close this evening. We need to be aware that there's false prophets. And I'm not even going through all the scriptures that talk about this evening. These were just a few that I looked at, knowing the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jesus Christ was called the apostle. Jesus. I'm not going to look at the scriptures on these, but when it comes to apostles, Jesus Christ called the apostles and Jesus Christ sent them forth. If you want to write down Matthew 10, 1 through 7, Luke 11, 49, and Acts 1, 1 through 4. If you want the scriptures, come to me later and I'll give them to you. But Jesus Christ commissioned. He had disciples. Then he took some of the disciples, 12 of them. He brought them apart and he ordained them. He commissioned them. He deputized them and set them forth as apostles, 12 of them. Third thing. The apostles were given specific orders from the Lord, and they differed from a disciple. Real quick, look at Luke chapter 6, verse 13. Luke 6:13. You had apostles, which were the 12 apostles, but then you also had disciples who were followers of Jesus Christ. So those individuals that followed Jesus were referred to as disciples. But the apostles were commissioned and sent forth by Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. Luke 6:13. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 13. Luke 6:13. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Okay? You see here in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, that the Lord had gone up to a mountain to pray. He'd come back down. When he came back down the next day, he called unto him his disciples. Then he chose 12 out of those disciples, and he commissioned them, and he called them apostles. You can find the same thing in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Another thing here, an apostle had close communion with the Lord. Luke chapter 22. The apostles were made aware of the Lord's resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 10. Now, this is the main one I want you to look at this evening. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. One of the key components in order to be an apostle is this. It's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. You see, an apostle must have been in the company of the Lord from the time of John's baptism till the Lord was taken up from them into heaven. They must also have been witnesses of his resurrection. So in order to be an apostle, you had to have been there from the very beginning, starting with John's baptism, all the way through to his resurrection and his ascension up into heaven. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. Now Judas had died. He had went and hung himself. So now they're down to 11 apostles. And here we find Peter talking in Acts chapter 1 verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Verse 21 now. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, look what he says in verse 22 now, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. So here you have them choosing that 12th apostle, and Peter makes a statement here in verse 21 and 22, giving some prerequisites for someone that desired or had wanted to be an apostle. You had to have been there from the beginning of John's baptism up to his witness of his resurrection and ascension up into heaven. You say, well, what about the Apostle Paul? Well, I believe he was there through the whole point. And he was also a witness. The Lord revealed himself unto him after the resurrection on the Damascus Road. So Paul fits all the criteria as well, as the Lord wouldn't have had him appointed as an apostle. Paul says, look at Acts chapter 15 real quick. We'll close with this verse, or not Acts chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll close with this verse here this evening. There's a lot to look into in this. To do a thorough study on apostles, it takes some time, but I wanted to cover at least a little bit of it this evening as we start the book of Romans chapter 1 and how Paul says he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll close with these verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. All right? So how are we saved? By what he's getting ready to tell us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which he bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You see, Paul, I believe the Apostle Paul was the last apostle. I do not believe we have apostles today. I believe it was an initial foundational office that God had set up with the prophets, but I believe that those foundational pieces are no longer needed, because we now have the full canon of scriptures. We don't need an apostle. I don't need a prophet. I don't need somebody to come in here and prophesy. I already know what the Bible says about what's going to happen in the future. I don't need no more prophecy. I have all the prophecy I need right here contained in this Bible. So what does God require of me today? Not to listen to some man come in or some woman come in and say, this is what thus saith the Lord. No, I need to get my Bible and see what thus saith the Lord. But it's a little bit more fun when you can then stir up the music and have people doing things and people prophesying on you and laying hands on you and all that. And again, I'm not mocking it because I was a part of it. And I put stock in a lot of it because I was doing it in sincerity and in truth. When God started working upon me about what truth was, I really wanted to know what truth was. And if I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and try to speak in tongues and grow close to God and fast for 4 days, then I was trying to do that because I just wanted to know God. I wanted to know what the truth was. And both Melanie and I started trying to do that. When we got set, like, what is the truth? Who is God? What is salvation? I'm confused. I don't understand. I don't know these things. We started doing everything that the preacher was telling us to do. And we went full bore with it. Full bore with it. But I believe God saw our heart, seeing that we wanted the truth. And I believe eventually God brought me to the truth. And I believe it started with that book right there. And in the most majority of doctrines of what the Baptist distinctives believe. Because in my mind, the Baptists are the closest to what is contained in the Word of God. Again, I'm not saying these things to mock. I'm saying these things is what does the Bible say? Not my feelings. You can't go off, well, I just feel. No, your feelings will mess you up. Your feelings will lead you astray. Your feelings are not solid, because one day you can feel as good as and as high as the moon, and the next day you're in the pits and the depths of hell because of what's going on in your life. Your feelings go up and down. But this Bible, and if you meditate upon it and you learn it, it's a constant, steady line that'll help you stay solid, not too far to the right, not too far to the left, but a right balance of what does the Bible say and what does God say. A correct balance. That's what I desire for this church. I don't want to go too far to the right. I've been in churches before that are legalistic. Baptist churches that are legalistic, to where a man can't preach or teach unless he's wearing a white shirt. It's not Bible. You're not going to find nowhere in the Bible where God says you got to wear a white shirt as a man to be able to do anything for God. It's not there. It's a preference or a conviction, but it's not Bible. Wire-rimmed glasses. If you wear wire-rimmed glasses, you're not right with God. If you got a beard, you're not right with God. If you do this, you're not right with God. If you don't do that, that's legalism. What I'm telling you as a preacher is you find out for yourself where you stand with God. I try to put forth principles. Then you take it and you run with it. You don't do anything because I say it, because you're going to fall into error. You do what you do because the Holy Spirit bears witness to it that it's truth, and that will stick, that will hold, because it's God doing it in your life and not some preacher or teacher. It's solid. It is solid when God gives it to you and bears witness to you. It's solid, and it won't let you down. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to mess up. I got errors in me because I'm mere flesh. I'm not perfect in this flesh. I'm going to say things that aren't right sometimes, and sometimes I'm not even going to realize what I said. But this, and the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness to it, you're safe. You're safe. I'm going to close with this. It's 6:30. I'm going to close. Anytime in any church you ever go to, bring your Bible and open it up as the preacher goes through the Bible. And make sure what he's saying is exactly what the Bible's saying. If you never see my face again, if God forbid something happened to me this week, and I preach this everywhere I go, I preach this and I say the same thing, whether I'm in a juvenile center, whether I'm in a prison, whether I'm in a jail, a nursing home, what does the Bible say? Stay in the Bible. Rest in the Bible. Know your Bible. Meditate upon your Bible. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I didn't quite quote that right, but you get the gist. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Jesus says, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You do err. What does the Bible say? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the precious brethren that went before us back in the 1100s, 1200s, 1300s, 1400s, 1500s, 1600s. Lord, I thank you for those precious brethren, Lord, that were persecuted, that were martyred to try to bring us the Bible into the English language. I thank you for Tyndale, Lord. I thank you for Wycliffe, Lord. I thank you for Huss. And Lord, the rest of them, Lord, that risked their lives so that we as an English people could have the Bible in our own language. I thank you for their testimony. I thank you for the blood that was shed, dear God, by trying to bring forth the Word of God into this language. Dear God, help me to rest upon it now. Lord, help me not to waste my time. Help me not to just toss it aside. Lord, help me to be thankful for it, dear God, for those precious brothers and sisters in the Lord and even children and young adults that gave their lives for what they believed because of what the Bible said and not what some priest said or what some preacher said or a pastor or an apostle or prophet. Lord, but they gave their life because they stood upon the Bible. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have that same fortitude. Lord, help us to not neglect our Bible reading, our Bible study, and our prayer time. Help us to do more of it in these last days that we're living in. Dear God, for less of an opportunity for us to be deceived by false prophets and false teachers who come in unawares, trying to bring in damnable heresies and even denying the Lord that bought them. God, help us to always have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise through it all, Father. And now, Lord, I ask that you just send us home with your blessings. Protect us on the roadways. Bless the meeting over there at first, over to the church there in Easton, dear God. Bless the preachers preaching tonight and bless the week of meetings there, dear God. Just deal with souls and encourage the believers. And I ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. 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 Brethren, love you. And Lord willing, see you Wednesday night.